I just looked up and saw the smiling face of Mike Fallahy, who is going to spend the 8 o'clock hour with us. We're looking forward to that. He'll be co-hosting the show. Was that through Mitch's charity that you bought that opportunity or something? Yeah, good for you, Mike. Nice to have you here. And we've got lots to talk about, that's for sure. All right, we have Chris Renwick standing by. And for years, the Democrats and the Republicans in Michigan have been headquartered in Lansing, obviously. And for years, because of their location, it gave them direct lines of communication to lawmakers, lobbyists, movers, shakers. But at least for now, it looks like the Michigan GOP is moving is moving out of Lansing. What next from these characters, this cast of characters in the Michigan Republican Party? Good morning, Chris, our WJR senior news analyst.
Good morning, Paulie. It's a good way to put it. Characters. I like that. Michigan GOP chair Christina Caramo says she's decentralizing operations as the state party grapples with what comes next for state Republicans, buoyed by a lack of severe lack of campaign contributions at the highest office levels, highest office runners in 2020. State lawmakers losing control of the legislature and borderline empty campaign coffers. Caramo says unless you live near Lansing, it's hard to be an active participant in what actually goes on there. She also says there's so much GOP talent across the state that it just makes sense to access it wherever it is. At a press conference last week, Caramo said she, in fact, has asked for access to the Michigan GOP headquarters and the inside components. She said that there are more important things than just that building. She says, we want to revitalize this party. We want to ensure that we'll be victorious in 24, and we are touching all parts of the state and not just Lansing. Speaking to the Michigan Information and Research Service podcast, former party chair Saul Anousis says the headquarters has been made available to Caramo, but her administration would have to pay the expenses for it. Former party chairs run a trust that owns a number of GOP assets and properties, and that includes the headquarters in Lansing. Caramo also sent a progress report to members of the state committee last week saying she continues pushing through the transition process towards stabilizing the party. She says she's also waiting on the former administration headed by Ron Weiser and Michonne Maddock to provide full financial statements and information and documentation of MIGOP loan activities and debt obligations. And Paul Caramo says some of these pending items are required to understand the comprehensive financial condition of MIGOP, along with attending resources necessary to win these elections. Bottom line is, they just don't have the money.
I was just going to say, I mean, I've never heard so much bloviating about, I think instead of taking over this office in Lansing, we should spread out. What is she talking about? Working out of their cars? No, let's have a meeting. Let me open my trunk and get some paperwork out. I mean, they can't afford the offices. And this was unfortunately predicted by, I think, Ron Weiser, Ambassador Weiser, the former head, and others who said all the money that they have gotten in the past is staying on the sidelines and not coming to the Republicans. My gosh, it really does look like they're disintegrating. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a troublesome spot to be in. And you're right. When some of your biggest campaign donors sit on the sideline when they don't contribute, you get to a point really quickly where it becomes unattainable to even function at the baseline level. Right. And that's where I think from my perspective and from others, that's where the party's at right now is they're going to have a hard time even funding, you know, different types of party, like necessary party functions. And so that puts the Michigan Republican Party in a really tough spot. And look, maybe there is somebody down the road that comes and pours money into the operation and is able to. And they're able to stabilize things a little bit. But right now, it looks like they're in a free fall. It looks like there's no landing net underneath them because they just don't have the money, unfortunately.
Well, there's nothing else to say. I mean, that's it. That's all we know.
And by the way, if you go to the Michigan GOP website, they have now changed the address. So if you want to send them something, if you would, it's a P.O. box in Grand Rapids.
Oh, my. Oh, jeez. Well, we wish them well, and we wish we were not correct in our summation of what we think's what's really going on is they have no money.
No money.
Yeah. And it's not going to be easy to maintain a party with no money.
Wow. It's hard to maintain the party with, and then look, now you're chasing from behind, right? Because not only were your three top competitors, governor, secretary of state, and attorney general, they weren't able to fundraise. But then you lost the state house, you lost the state senate, and now you're left playing catch up, and you know, leading from the front and having that as a fallback is one thing, but when you're playing catch up and you don't have any money, that's almost impossible to deal with in the political world.
Yep. Well, fascinating to watch. Thanks for staying on top of it. I got a question out of left field for you. Did you watch the 95th annual Academy Awards last night?
I caught a little bit of it. Yeah, I didn't. It's not something that's on my radar all the time anymore. I caught a little bit of it last night.
I watch all fine. When I can. I watch all live television. I just find it fascinating. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a nice job. But here's a couple of quick questions that even if you didn't watch, you might wonder. Seems to me I remember seeing people selling their award, their Oscar. Do you know that they cannot sell it? It's by rules, according to the Academy rules, winners or their heirs cannot sell the statuette without first offering to sell it to the Academy for the sum of $1. Had you ever heard that? I never heard that.
That's a bad deal. I wouldn't take that.
No. Do you know why it's called the Oscar?
No.
Till 1939, the trophies handed out by the Academy were known as the Academy Awards of Merit. But after Margaret Herrick, the Academy's executive director, compared the award to her uncle Oscar, it became popular by that name. Okay. And the Oscar.
Wow, look at that. I had the uncle.
Yeah, the uncle.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It weighs 8.5 pounds, in case you were wondering. You probably were not. The oldest winner was, we thought it was going to be Judd Hirsch, but it wasn't. It actually stays with Anthony Hopkins, who got it at 83. The youngest, you know who that was, Tatum O'Neill, was 10 years old when she got hers. The longest film to win an Oscar was the Russian film War and Peace, spanning 414 minutes. And it was awarded the Best Foreign Language Film Oscar in 1967. And you know what War and Peace was about? War and Peace. Mm. All righty. Thank you much.
Hey, did anybody assault anybody last night?
No, and everybody was waiting. Oh. But well, the jokes came out early in the opening monologue. The jokes came out. They had a special emergency squad that was supposed to respond if anything happened. And as Jimmy Kimmel said, and if you do come up and hit me, you will be immediately given the Best Acting Award. Because that's what happened last year.
That's a good line. Okay. That's a good one.
And given 19 minutes. Did you say that on the air? I couldn't tell if you're. No, wait, say these things on the air. That's why you have a microphone.
You'd be given 19 minutes to give your acceptance speech.
There you go.
Okay. That's solid. That's a good job.
Very good. See you later, Chrissy.
See ya.
745 at 760 WJR.